Okay.
All right, good evening. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6, and we'll just use this passage, I guess, as a springboard into the message, and then we'll be in Exodus chapter 4. Judges chapter 6, verse 36. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the songs of praise, Lord, that we can sing to you, Lord. Pray, Lord, that this time now would be a blessing, Lord. Help clear our thoughts, Lord, and pray, Lord, you'd give me clarity of speech. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we can meditate now on your word and, Lord, the things that you speak to our heart about, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges 6:36, and Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. How many times do I need to be told? That's a question I asked myself about 9 weeks ago now, just at the end of last year. How many times do I need to be told? I was thinking over what Tia and myself had been praying about, and in regards to deputation, whether the Lord would have us to go back to East Timor for a three-month term, or whether we just go straight into deputation. And we'd been praying about it, and the Lord prompted me when I was praying with my pastor about sending out letters. And so we started working on letters, and I guess to see if there'd be any response. If churches would respond to our letters, then we'd know that the Lord would want us to go on deputation. And if there wasn't any response, that we would go to East Timor. And Tia and I prayed and we asked the Lord, "Lord, if you want us to go on deputation, churches will start contacting us even before the letters go out." And it was shortly after that that the pastor in Townsville rang and asked us if we'd come down and present the ministry of East Timor to the church in the first week of February. And we thought, okay, Lord, is this the start of deputation or is it a one-off? Townsville's not a very far drive, and it's only a four-hour drive for us, and we've got family there, so we do it regularly. Is it deputation or is it a once-off? Lord, if another church would contact us, then we'll know it's deputation. And then we had a phone call from Pastor Dave Onus in Mackay. He was going to be away from Christmas through to the middle of January, and he wanted just me to fill in for 1 week. And so he rang and asked if we'd fill in, and at this stage, we're thinking, okay, is this this is deputation, because the Lord has said, there's another church, we asked for another church to ring. And I guess we wanted to make sure, because Dave didn't want us to present the ministry while we were there. He just wanted us to fill in the preaching. And we're actually heading in the wrong direction, because that was in January. In February, we're heading back north and we're heading back home. And we thought, okay, Lord, we're heading in the wrong direction for deputation. And Dave doesn't want us to present the ministry just yet because members are away and he's away. And so we asked the Lord again, Lord, if you want us to go on deputation, make it clear to us. And it was the next night that Pastor Phil Hyland rang and asked us to come down for their missions conference in February. And so we knew that we're going on deputation. And it's like, okay, Lord, I get it now. And I don't know about you, but I feel thick a lot of the time. I'm slow and my brain doesn't work. And so it's like, okay, Lord, I finally got it. And I guess, does the Lord ever tell you something and take you a while to understand? And do you look back and say, okay, Lord, I see what you are doing there. I see what you are trying to tell me. I get it now. Are you listening to God? Hello? Is he talking to you? I know he is. Are you listening to him? Are you listening to him? He's doing something in your life. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you in your life. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He has a purpose for you. Is God in control? It should be yes. Is God in control of your circumstances? Yes. Do we make stupid choices that affect our circumstances? Yes, but God is in control. Are you listening to him? Have you been paying attention? Have you been praying a certain direction? And maybe God's answering you and you just haven't realized it. And there are times when, like Gideon, we just want to make sure, we want to put that fleece out. But I think there's a fine line there of desiring to be in the will of God and making sure of it, and that fine line between that and it turning into a lack of faith or doubting or quenching the spirit. I guess the answer to find out is, are you willing to say yes, Lord, when you find out the answer? Are you willing to say yes, Lord, when God gives you the answer? Let's turn in Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. The background is, I guess, Moses sees the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And God speaks to Moses out of the bush, tells him to take off his shoes, and God tells Moses that he will be the leader to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, and he'll be the spokesman, and God is going to give him signs to show and to prove that God has spoken to him. And then in Exodus 4, we have those signs. If we start in verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, And it, when he took it out, behold, his hand was as leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. What impresses me here about Moses is that he knows how to say, yes, Lord. He knows how to say, yes, Lord. When we look back in Exodus 3, when God says, take off thy shoes, he takes off his shoes. When he says, cast down thy rod, yes, Lord. Take it by the tail, yes, Lord. Put thine hand into thy bosom, yes, Lord. Take it out, yes, Lord. Put it back in, yes, Lord. Take it out. He doesn't obviously verbally say, yes, Lord. But his actions are yes, Lord. Do you know how to say yes, Lord? Do you know how to say yes, Lord? When he says, go talk to that person, do you say yes, Lord? Okay, Lord. Give that person a tract. Do you know how to say yes, Lord? When he says, help in the kitchen, give that person a phone call. Be in church more. Help clean the church. Do you know how to say, yes, Lord? Do you know how to say, yes, Lord? Let's look a little bit more in Exodus here. In verse 10 of chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And ye shall be thy spokesman unto the and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Here Moses says, no, Lord. He's just said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And then he says, no, Lord. Someone else, Lord. Do you know that you can resist the grace of God? You can resist the grace of God. And Moses misses out on a blessing here. He misses out on the blessing of an eloquent tongue. I believe that Moses would have stood in front of Pharaoh and opened his mouth, and Pharaoh would have just been in awe of what came out of his mouth. But Moses misses out because he said, not me, Lord, someone else. Send someone else. Use someone else. I think if we look in Deuteronomy 11, 26 and 28, we have the principle of blessing and a curse. God says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. We can miss out on blessings because of our disobedience. And I think this as a good example of quenching the spirit, or putting out the fire, resisting the grace of God. God will only use you as much as your obedience. God will only use you as much as your obedience. God wanted to use Moses. He wanted to use his mouth to tell Pharaoh. But Moses resisted God's enabling. So God used Aaron instead to accomplish his will. And I think if we're honest, we can all say that we've said no, Lord, in our life. At home, we do the market ministry, and at times, God just lays somebody on my heart if I see somebody and God lays something on my heart and just says, that person needs a tract. Make sure that person gets a tract. And I find handing a tract to somebody easy now. When I started off, I found it difficult. I was nervous. But after doing it for a little bit, I found that easy. But then God says, say something to them. And I hesitate. My hesitation is like saying, no, Lord. My hesitation is the same as saying, no, Lord. Someone else, Lord. Use someone else's mouth. Sometimes God is gracious to me and I get opportunity as the person walks out of the market to talk to them, to say something to them. But there's times when I just miss out on the blessing. There's times when I just miss out on that blessing. How many times do I have to be told? How many times do you need to be told? I was reading through Jeremiah in December, and Jeremiah tells them, the nation, over and over again, what's going to happen to them. That they're going to be taken into captivity. And after it happens, they say, okay, Jeremiah, we know that you're a prophet of the Lord now. What does the Lord want us to do? And Jeremiah goes away, comes back 10 days later and tells them, the Lord wants you to stay here and serve the Chaldeans. And the first thing that they do is say, no, you're a false prophet. And they reject the word of God. Jeremiah says, if you go to Egypt, you're going to die. And they just reject him. They reject what God is trying to tell them. Has God been telling you the same thing over and over and you just don't get it? Are you listening to him? Are you listening to God? Are you paying attention to what he's telling you? Maybe it's to get rid of something in your life. Maybe it's to do something for him. I see people at home and it says you tell them that or you hear the preaching and you know, or you feel, I guess, you look at yourself first, but then you look at others in the church and you say, well, that message was for them, and you don't see any change in their life. And you think, are you listening to God? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, when you find out the answer, I guess? When he says, get rid of that in your life, do you know how to say, yes, Lord? Or stop wasting time doing something. I think of video games. I think they're just the biggest waste of time. And the devil's smart. He's subtle. He knows how to get to people and distract them and deceive. We just need to know how to say, yes, Lord. If we seek God for direction in our life, he's not going to do something with us that he's not willing to help us with. He's going to enable you if you seek him and he asks you to serve him. He's going to enable you to do that. God is not wicked that he wants to do evil to us. He wants to bless us. James 1:7 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God wants to do good with you. He wants to do good with me. If we think for a second about how much God loves us, it would blow our minds, really. I think when you think about God sending His Son, who left the glory of heaven and was obedient in going to the cross to die for us, if you think about how much He loves you for a minute, that should compel us to do something for Him. It should change something in our lives. God is good and He wants to do good with us and through us. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if a son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And I realize that passage is, in context, is talking about salvation, but He wants to do good to you. I think we can apply it to this. God wants to do good to you. Give good things to you. He wants to use you for the glory of His name. I think we'd all agree that we're privileged people. We live in a good country where we have good health care, and we're not a third world country. We're blessed with electricity and running water, and we're a privileged nation in many ways. But we're also a privileged people. We're privileged to serve a living God. We're privileged to serve a living God. That's a great privilege, I think. And we're privileged also to carry the gospel. That's a valuable thing, the gospel. God says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" That gospel message can lead that person to Christ. It can save a soul that's more valuable than anything in this universe. And we're privileged to carry that around and to share that with others. That's a great privilege. We're privileged if we say, "Yes, Lord." We're privileged if we say, "Yes, Lord." And we've only been saved almost 4 years, but we started going to church just over four years ago. And it's just small steps. When we started going to Grace Baptist Church 4 years ago, wasn't long before the Lord said, "Get rid of that. Get rid of things in our life." We'd stopped drinking already, but there was still alcohol in our house, and the Lord said, "Get rid of it." I was watching a lot of sport, and God said, "Stop. You're watching that. You're wasting your time. You're better off reading my word." And then He spoke to us and said, "You need to be giving in the church." "Yes, Lord." "You need to be baptized." "Yes, Lord." "You need to become members." "Yes, Lord." "Help clean the church." "Yes, Lord." It's just small steps of obedience. God doesn't expect you to be saved and jump into being a pastor the next day. You need to take small steps of obedience. It's not just one big step, it's just little ones. And we need to know how to say, "Yes, Lord," to be obedient. It seems as though Christians are scared of what God would do with their life if they said surrendered themselves to Him. If they surrendered their lives, God might put them in the ministry, might make them a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. And it seems as though Christians are scared of what God would do with them. But God wants to do good things with us. 1 Samuel 15, 23. It's good if you read this, 22, if you'd like to turn there. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Behold, to obey is better. To obey is better than sacrifice." Often we think we can give something, give our tithe, give a love gift, give something else. But God just wants obedience in our life. If we want to please God, we need to be obedient to Him. Obedience brings pleasure to God. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But obedience also brings pleasure to God. There's times when we need to stop so that we can discern what God wants us to do. Times when we need to just be praying and reading and have closet time, personal time with the Lord, to get direction and pray and read and pray and read and find out that direction. But when God tells us what He wants us to be doing and how He wants us to be serving Him, there needs to be action behind it. We need to discern and be still and seek the Lord, but then we need to be able to say, "Yes, Lord." We need to be able to say, "Yes, Lord." I'll close there and we'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time, Lord. I do pray, Lord, You'd help all of us, Lord, to be obedient to You, Lord. Lord, just obedient in the little things, Lord, that You ask us to be obedient in, Lord. Whether it's just spending more time with You, Lord, in the morning, or in the evening, Lord, or being obedient in serving You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be obedient. I ask this in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.